it's hard to generalize at this point for me, but if you were to ask me if it's a zero or one answer, I would say international clients would have that mindset, which, you know, sort of, because they have a great understanding of the space right since the beginning. And yeah, that's what is always the constant struggle, because there's so much of innovation happening on the productivity front, tools front, that you want to explore more and more tools, at the same time not overload and confuse, because with every new tool comes the amount of training, firstly for your own self and then the people who are working together with you. So yeah, like I said, even I have the times when I'll be completely unproductive and slow. So, and no one watches on me. So I feel the same, that I shouldn't do that for anyone else. Even when I was fortunate enough to work in a work culture before that. I did internships. I worked in startups where no one micromanaged me. So I feel that the same kind of, you know, workspace needs to get carried on. So there are times where people will, let's say, take a little longer lunch break. And, you know, as long as it's not something with someone's every day going disappearing for 4 hours at work, it doesn't stress me out. You know, I give that kind of freedom and space to the team members. And a lot of team members may not even realize it until they change their workspace and they're in a workspace which is, you know, like, what are you doing? Why are you taking more than 45 minutes out and all of those things? So you party one night, you party one night till like 4 a.m., but you make sure that you turn up for the next day's shoot at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. We are okay with that. And we have done that. We have been in situations which are tough, well-paying clients. We've had to say, you know, I don't think we can take this forward. Because what many clients don't understand is it's a two-way relationship, right? A lot of people think, oh, only the client can terminate the agency. Yeah. But agency also reserves the right, if they feel that they're not doing justice, if they feel that the client's not the right fit, it's like a marriage. Right, so you need both sides to work and be happy in that relationship. Only then it's beneficial for the brand. A lot of times people have a mindset, and this happens mainly in Indian clients, where they feel, I'm paying you need to do it the way I want it to do. If you don't do it, I'm going to fire you. You have a right to fire us as much as we have a right to fire you. So you know, if the relationship is amazing, and we do have great clients who've been with us, and, you know, who built, of course, like I said, it's a relationship. You need to work towards it, and that effort has to come from both ends. And a lot of clients have put that in. That's why we have, you know, clients we worked with for years. But at the same time, there are going to be different people who may be perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. But sometimes that sync may just not work. And that's the time where either one has to say, it's not working. I realized that happening because no matter what position I was in, I was an intern or I was a junior level person. But my suggestions were considered and they were sort of given attention to. So I think that is because the person was grounded, because the people I worked with was grounded, because the experiences I've had with is with people who are grounded. So I feel that always helps the brand. And that's the reason I feel I have to constantly have that attitude. So I think I strongly remember that. And even till late, I try to be as humble as I can, as modest as I can in terms of my approach when I'm giving tasks, when I'm talking to people, when I'm talking to clients. When I'm talking to anyone, I think it's the foundation. And I've seen a lot of established people be that way, which is what drives and motivates me to kind of go in that direction.
Some way to get funding for your business.
I think I've always believed in self-funding. When I say self-funding, it's bootstrapped. So I personally, what I earn, I put it back into my business. And that's the best way. That's sustainable. That's great. So that would be my opinion on if your business is something which can be bootstrapped. Go for that. But yeah, of course, if you
have less of a burden too.
Yeah, I mean, you're responsible to yourself, which is more, which is at the same time difficult, at the same time easy, because you don't have to listen to anyone else's opinion. You know, you can listen to them, but you can do what you think is right. And you are the one paying for the business, so you get the complete freedom of being independent and making your own decisions. So yeah, if you fall, it's your fault. Yeah. If you don't fall, you know, everyone's going to celebrate. Yeah. And nothing's better than word of mouth. So that's, you know, the more you can focus on that, make your clients give you reviews on your online platforms as a video, put it up on Instagram, put it up on Facebook, put it up on your Google page. All of that really helps. So if you want to capture an Indian market, I would say go for, you know, sort of getting your clients to speak about you. Put up those videos, build your online presence. There's so much that you can do, but like I said, one step at a time. So yeah, and that's what a decision factor is, right? So that's going to work. But there are a lot of other things. I think as long as you're able to build a community or be a part of a community, like there are so many clubs, there are so many, you know, unions, associations, join, be part of it, you know, give selfless effort, like mm-hmm. selfless work and contribute as much as you can, whether it's social service, whether it's a business community, whether it's your industry community, you know, like contribute. Like mm-hmm. there are a lot of blogs which will just take your articles without you having to pay for it. So, you know, you do that. There is a lot of great podcast creators like Kunal who you can reach out to and say, listen, I've got a story. Do you think this is interesting? And yeah, he might consider you. So I think you should reach out. A lot of times we stop ourselves from reaching out because we think, why will the person respond to me? Why will the person get back to me? But, you know, we stop by just reaching out to one or two people. I'm sure you can do 100 a day. So what is stopping you from doing 100 a day? Is the problem.
Mind,
yeah.
Mindset.
Exactly. So I feel as long as you know what your capabilities are, what your interests are, what makes you happy, then everything else kind of falls in place and you can make decisions based on that. Mm. Right. So like if you know you're great at VFX, you will want to go and do that for more clients. Mm. And if you know you're not good at something, but if you feel that thing has great potential and you still want to provide it as a service to the company, you can still do that. Right, because on a daily day-to-day basis, there are a lot of things that are happening within my company which I personally may not like doing. You know, I may hate doing it. I may have done it in the past, but I don't want to do it anymore. So the goal is to get to a point where you can find how that still gets done because it's a critical part of a business. And that's the difference between being an entrepreneur and working inside of an organization. Because you need to, if someone says, I can't do it, either you need to figure how to do it or you need to find someone else. And at a point of time, you may not be able to find someone else. So you need to sort of go down there and do that, you know, job which you feel is not great or is dirty or it's something that you don't enjoy doing, right? So that's how it is. Like when I say dirty, I literally mean dirty. Like there have been times after parties, I'm cleaning up things which is extremely not a pleasant experience. But I have to do it because, I mean, ultimately, anything goes wrong, I have to fall in. So for me, in one line, the most rewarding experience is having team members, you know, feel that that they are the ones who are running the company. I like to be behind the scenes. Of course, before that, I did work with like a bunch of, like I said, startup founders who gave me the kind of work culture experience. I worked in the design space, tech space, marketing space. So, you know, it helped me understand all of these verticals, right? Your tech, your design, your creativity, your analytical stuff. And that is what I felt. If I put together and I sort of work more on this front, I think it's something unique and something that I have not heard anyone doing, at least in Goa, and a lot of Indian agencies as well were not doing it. There were a lot of like tech companies which would do like, you know, good products in terms of web, in terms of websites, apps, all of that. But I didn't see a strong agency culture which was, you know, there to kind of promote all these things. So yeah, when I got started, I identified a niche and I thought this has a potential and I enjoy doing that. I was passionate about it. So I think that's what people saw and believed in me. And yeah, a big thanks to all my clients at the beginning who believed in me and sort of helped me become what I am today. We went to mess workers, we taught them English, you know, so those are the things which really, like, I mean, those are selfless activities, right? I was not benefiting those. In the sense that there was no direct reward. I was not getting paid by my college or by Toastmasters to build another club. I was making zero money, but I was doing all of that, which was helping me learn my skills. So I firmly believe that if you don't see, like if you want to do something and then, you know, you're always going to be stuck up on, I need someone to pay me for to do something like that. That's a big mistake. Like, just do it. You do it for free. Do it as a hobby, you know, like go out there, because only by doing is when you're going to learn the best, right? No amount of books, sessions, videos like this is going to teach you as much as actually being on the job and doing it. So I think that's what would be something that I always advocate about, and I'm very clear with. Yeah, a lot of thoughts did come to me about, you know, sort of even leaving my college. Third year, I'm like, I know what I want to do. I did electrical engineering and I don't see myself working in this space, but I said, let me just complete it and, you know, like sort of take that on my list and say that, okay, I have finished my engineering and now I'm doing what I can do and want to do. And yeah, so nothing wrong in that.
Engineer story.
A lot of people advise, you know, that, okay, sort of, it's like a cool thing to drop out of your college.
Yeah.
But I think unless you start making the money and you have that revenue coming into you, don't take a drastic step like that, is what I would say, because it's something that you may not be able to get back to and complete it. Like tomorrow you may want to take up, like you may be an entrepreneur, but you may suddenly decide to get a job at a very high level position. And just because you were a dropout, probably that company may not hire you. So it's a big decision to make. And at an early age like that, to decide to sort of drop out from a college, it's a tough decision. I did not have the courage to do it. And I think it has helped me, because when I go back and a lot of times in my initial meetings, I would tell people what my background is, they had more trust in me. There was nothing that NIT as an institute, technically taught me that I do in my everyday life, but it was the other things that I was maybe doing, college activities. My college was very supportive on, you know, sort of taking those initiatives. They gave me complete freedom. They allowed me to create my own club. I felt that was a space for me to become an entrepreneur. Like the college helped me become an entrepreneur without teaching me directly entrepreneurship. So I think it was a big, I mean, I am always grateful to have the opportunity of being, you know, in that space. And I mean, definitely today when I go back to clients and I say that we are a team of 30 plus members, it helps in a way. But I mean, if let's say there was there's another version of me starting today, probably might do better than what I'm doing as a team of 30, that there is a possibility, because as long as a person knows multiple aspects and is able to deliver and contribute, could still do a better campaign. Like I said, no marketing campaign is perfect. There can be someone better than that, whether it's an agency, whether it's another freelancer. So, you know, that's what my opinion would be. There's nothing's ideal. There's no marketing advice which is perfect, it's just what you need to realize, what your strengths are, what is your self-realization about, you know, about yourself, that is going to keep you take the big steps and sort of keep growing. In fact, I have someone who's very active in the online webinar space, and you know, he has like a huge community. His name is Gaurav, and I can also introduce you to him in case you'd like to have him on your podcast. But he does his sessions at 7 a.m. in the morning. And he has an audience which comes. So, you know, like if someone can wake up to you at 7 a.m. and watch your content, man, you're like building a tribe for yourself and a powerful community, because they're really like, they've taken the effort to get up early and come, and that's because it's someone else who's put in the money, and they may or may not be okay with it. They may not know what you've done about it, because most often they're not involved in your daily operations. They trust you over certain things, and you may feel it's okay. They may feel it's not okay. So it's always going to be a clash and a conflict. But if it's a bootstrapped, if your own startup, then it's your own money. Like, you know, I heard A.R. Rahman recently at the International Film Festival, since we were covering the event. And someone asked him, why are you getting into the VR space? Why are you creating VR content? You're a music producer. You are in the music space. And why did A.R. Rahman get into the virtual reality space and spend the money? He said, it's my money, and I'm creating content which is probably larger duration. I'm experimenting. As Indians, we usually look at people from US or from other countries to do transformative things, and then when it's successful, when it's great, we try to copy it. So he said, why not we try to do something different, try to innovate, try to do something unique, and how better can I do it without it being my own money? So if I blow it, it's my fault. But if it works, and then, you know, then I'll be proud that all of India will be proud that this was initiated, this type of VR content or this type of long form VR content was done in India and by Indians. So, I strongly believe that if it's your own money, which you're putting in experimentation and your own business, no one can question you. You are the real boss of, you know, those funds, and you make the decision, you win, your team wins, you lose. It's as simple as that. A lot of people say that VR is supposed to be only 20 minutes because that gives you a headache or it's not safe. But he's trying to create longer form content by working inside the basic principles of virtual reality. So basically the thing that, I mean, as a human, when you walk, you don't get a headache, right?
Yeah.
So if you're able to not break those rules and create that same experience, then it's not an issue. is what his thought and his ideation is. No one has done it in the past, but he's experimenting on that front and he's doing a lot of interesting stuff. And like the only point it made sense was that, yeah, it's his own money. He can do whatever he wants. He can put the camera the way he wants. He can twist it the way he wants. And music makes a powerful impact even in virtual reality space, right? It can, like, there was someone on the panel of IFFI who said that if, I mean, the video that they had, the film, the VR piece of content that they had was, the first review was, it's pathetic. It's bad. It doesn't have an impact. And it was given to a music producer who completely took a take at it and added a few sound effects and transformed it. And when the same set of audience watched it, they were like, this is awesome. So that is the transformative experience that music has. So I'm sure that is a very critical part in, let's say, the entire piece of VR. But yeah, he's sort of running the whole show on that front and he's investing in that segment. So yeah. So we had a critical role to play in, like, so we built the IFFI website for about 4 years and that was a great learning experience. When we used to manage the website and were an active part in that, we every time during the festival, there's almost a daily something or the other happening which requires an update on the website. During, before the festival, is like truckload of information coming from all directions and it has to be put together. So having a solid understanding of the festival is extremely important because without an experience of the festival, you will just end up doing random stuff. And when we were not part of like the website process, we noticed that happening, right? Because it's a government system, it's a tender system. So, you know, like there are a lot of factors which play for you to win a government tender. You need to be technically good. Your financial bit has to make it through. So we made it through for 4 years. And all of those 4 years, it was like extremely hectic in terms of understanding what the first year was a challenge, but we had the team from the festival and which was helping us understand it. But second, third, fourth year, like we built a lot of understanding that we could actually give strategic advice and, you know, say that, okay, this is how the information has to be. This is what needs to go. So yeah, experience helped. We're always looking for, you know, creative people to join us. And I'm sure Goa has the potential, not only from like people who want to move to Goa, but people who stay in Goa, who are, you know, brought up with the culture, who want to hustle hard, work hard, the constant mindset that Goa is chagad and Goa is lazy or laid back is something that I am proud that we throw out of the window. Because if anyone comes and sees, like, you know, the work culture at our agency, we are proud of being hustling, you know, all the time, and of course having fun as well. So we bring in the side of fun and we hustle hard as well. But yeah, so if someone wants to really put in the work and have fun along the way, we are happy to work together.